The Navigators is an international, interdenominational Christian organization whose objective is to help fulfill Christ's commission to make disciples of all nations. They individually teach the basics of the Christian life to new believers, who then teach others. They work on campuses, military bases, and among lay men and women on every continent.
Have you ever known the joy of witnessing to a friend about Christ and see that person's life transformed by the power of God? If so, you know that that is one of the greatest joys and thrills that can come to a Christian. A man who, all his adult lifetime, gave himself to witnessing to individuals said, "Even if I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything but my own happiness, I would choose, if I might, under God, to be a soul winner." And certainly, there again we see the joy, the happiness that comes to the person who has the privilege of witnessing to another individual about the Lord Jesus and seeing that person pass from death to life. What a privilege that is, to see that life transformed by the power of God, to see that light come into the life to replace darkness, to see them freed from the bondage that Satan has imposed upon us, and to come out into the liberty that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever had this privilege of pointing someone to the Lord Jesus, of witnessing to them and seeing the Spirit of God work, that they in turn have become a Christian and are growing with the Lord, and perhaps even they in turn are now witnessing to other individuals? Well, you can. You can know that joy and have that privilege. In fact, God intended that you should. And let me repeat it again. You can witness effectively to individuals. You see, the Lord Jesus promised that he would make us fishers of men. In Matthew 4:19, in this particular passage, where the Lord Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, the Lord Jesus states to us that he wants us to be fishers of men. And his command is to follow him, and the promise is that he will make us fishers of men. So what the Lord Jesus has promised, certainly he will carry out, would he not? And he can and will make you a fisher of men if you will let him. Or you may not be a Peter who preached one day and 3,000 were added to the church, but you can be an Andrew who, after he had been brought to the Savior, went and found his brother Simon Peter and brought him to the Lord Jesus. Peter fished with a net, so to speak, and Andrew with a pole and a line, one at a time. And though you may not be called upon to preach to great multitudes or even to groups, yet you can witness effectively to individuals, one by one, the pole and line method, so to speak. And what a privilege that can be. You, like Andrew, might lead someone to the Lord, who might in turn lead thousands. A shoe salesman named Edward Kimball led a young man to Christ years ago. I doubt if you know who Edward Kimball is or was, but you do know about the young man he led to Christ in his shoe store. That young man was D.L. Moody, who was to become the great evangelist. Did you realize that 7 of the 12 apostles were won, through individual work? The Lord Jesus didn't command us to be fishers of men, however. He commanded us to follow him. And then he promised, as a result of our response, to make us fishers of men. As someone has once said, responsibility. The response is to come from us, and the ability will come from him. And so you can witness effectively for Christ to other individuals, to your friends, neighbors, and acquaintances, because he has promised to make you a fisher of men. And then the Lord Jesus, though he taught large groups, He is also our example in individual witnessing. As we read the gospel records of his life and note the various times that he taught one individual, we find that 19 different times he taught just one person. For instance, the woman at the well. You remember how it's recorded there in John, the 4th chapter. At noon, he sat on the well, and here came this woman who had had 5 husbands, and how he led her step by step to faith in himself, and then she in turn brought the villagers out to hear him and that they might believe in him. You remember how he came into town one day and looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus, the tax gatherer, and said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, for today salvation has come into thy home." And you remember how a religious leader came to the Lord Jesus by night, and the Lord dealt with Nicodemus individually. So we have the promise of the Lord Jesus that he will make you a fisher of men, an effective witness to individuals. And we also have the example of the Lord Jesus in individual witnessing. Now, certainly to witness to the saving grace of Christ is the greatest work that God permits men to do. Just to think that he lets us get in on it. Now in Luke 19:10, the Lord Jesus said of himself, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now you and I know that the Lord Jesus does all of the saving, and in fact he does most of the seeking. It is he who seeks men. But he lets us in on that part of it too, the seeking of men. And therefore, it is one of the greatest privileges that we can have, that of being a fisher of men, seeking those who are outside of Christ. It not only is the greatest work that God permits us to do, to co-labor with him and the seeking of the souls of men, but it is also the hardest. Naturally, Satan will bitterly oppose something so effective as individual witnessing. Then, too, don't you think that we make a mistake, those of us who call ourselves just the ordinary lay Christians, when we feel that this work of evangelism is to be done by only a select few, those who have gone off to Bible school or seminary or who become missionaries or pastors? In fact, that's a mistaken view, because the Bible indicates that every saint is to be a soldier. Every child of God is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, and that includes you. Oh, you may not be talented. You may not have much background or experience, and perhaps you will be afraid. But let me remind you that witnessing for Christ to either groups or individuals is like anything else. It is an art to be learned, and it takes certain things. First, it takes personal preparation and equipping. You need to be prepared to have something to say and know what to say, to have a boldness with which to say it and a heart of love and a Christ-like life that will back it up. Then, too, we need the knowledge of how to approach a person who is seemingly uninterested or even hostile to the things of God. Furthermore, we know how to tell the gospel story simply and forcefully, and how to care for the one that you have led to the Lord. Now, the purpose of this series of messages that we are beginning today is to help you to prepare for and actually do individual witnessing. The materials that are to be given and the suggestions to be made are the outgrowth of 6 years of experience in helping Christians all over the country. For the last 6 years, it has been my privilege with the Billy Graham team to train counselors, personal work counselors, in various parts of this country, in Canada, and over in the British Isles. And during these years, I have constantly given myself to this thought. If I were to take the average group of Christians and had only 2 things to teach them that would make them the most effective personal workers for Christ in the least amount of time, what would those 2 things be? Now, I have arrived at what I think those 2 things would be. And they, among other things, constitute a large part of the material that we will be bringing you in this series on individual witnessing. And even though you are totally inexperienced, if you will follow the lessons and the messages, and if you will follow the outlines provided in the booklet and do the homework that we will be assigning message by message, I'm certain that you will find yourself much better equipped and much more encouraged and confident to actually engage in witnessing for Christ to individuals in your neighborhood and those with whom God brings you in contact in your own sphere of influence. Now, to begin with, the first question I would like to ask you is, are you following the Lord Jesus? As in the verse of Scripture we mentioned a bit ago in Matthew 4:19, the Lord Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Are you following him? Well, certainly you cannot follow him if first you have not met him as your Savior. If you do not know him as the Lord of your life, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Could you join the Apostle Paul when he said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day"? Do you have a sure, rock-ribbed assurance and certainty of your life in Jesus Christ? I remember, as a boy, I grew up in Sunday school and church, but somehow or other it didn't mean too much to me. I never particularly disbelieved the Bible, nor did I disbelieve in the Lord Jesus Christ. But neither had I received him as my Savior either. And then I remember how, when I was a freshman in college, I walked into the back of a little church one Sunday night, and there I heard, in a way that left an indelible impression upon my mind, that I not only needed to know the facts about the Lord Jesus, how he died on the cross to take my sins, but how that I must receive him as my own personal Savior. At first, I thought, well, I'm a Christian. I was born in America. I've tried to live a good life. But then as the weeks, in fact, the months went by, one night I was lying awake in my bed thinking about it seriously. Well, I'm not certain I'm a Christian. If I died, I don't know where I'd go. So after a while, I decided to make certain, and I slipped out of bed on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Just by a definite act of faith, there was no emotional upheaval. But that night, I became a new creature in Christ. And life has been a day-by-day joyous experience ever since. Do you know him as Savior? If not, right now, you could ask Jesus Christ to come in and take over your heart and life. And he will come in because he promised. So that's the first question. And the next thing is, if you're going to be effective in individual witnessing, you must come to have a working knowledge of the Scriptures. Because individual witnessing is a hand-to-hand spiritual conflict. Therefore, you must use spiritual weapons. And that's where we will take up next week in our second lesson, the use of the Bible in individual witnessing. In the meantime, here's some homework we'd like you to do. The two booklets, one called Beginning with Christ, the other, Going On with Christ. We will start studying the first one, called Beginning with Christ. You will notice it has a booklet to be read, and then in the back of the booklet is a folder containing some scripture passages printed on cards. We'll have more to say about those cards in coming lessons. But for this week, read very carefully through the booklet called Beginning with Christ. Today we go into our second message on the subject of individual witnessing. And if you followed our homework that we assigned you last week, you will have very carefully read the leaflet part of the little packet called Beginning with Christ. And there you will have noticed the three major attacks of Satan on a young Christian and how they can be met. There is the matter of doubt of salvation and how the Scripture, the Word of God, is God's means to meet this particular attack. And then Satan's attack by way of temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which assures us that God will make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Then the third attack of the enemy, in the case we should fail, and sin should suddenly crop up in our lives, then we are assured by the Scripture that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you will want to be sure not to mislay this little booklet called Beginning with Christ. You will need it for your own participation in this course, these series of messages. And then, too, you will find it will be very helpful to put in the hands of the person that the Lord privileges you to help and perhaps to lead to Christ. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of leading a person to the Lord, but as we mentioned last time, it is one of the greatest thrills, one of the greatest privileges that can come to a Christian. Just to see the joy on the face, to see the transformed life as a result of personal trust in Christ, is in itself well worth all the effort. And then, of course, to think what it means that a soul is saved for eternity. Further, just to reflect on the fact that the Lord Jesus so loved the world that He died, that He carried our sins in His own body on the tree out of love for us, that in itself is sufficient reason for us to want to share that message with others by way of individual witnessing. Now, last time we used as our text Matthew 4:19, where the Lord Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, in that passage, you remember, the command is to follow Him, and the promise is that He will make us fishers of men. Many say, "Well, I cannot witness. I am not in the Lord's work full time. I have not had sufficient background for this." But you can witness, and you can witness it effectively, because the Lord Jesus promised to make us fishers of men. We may not all fish with a net like Peter, under whose preaching 3,000 people were saved at one time, but we can fish with a pole and a line one at a time, like Andrew, who brought Peter to the Lord. You can witness. Our responsibility is to follow Christ. In these messages, we are seeking to show you how to better follow Him and thus become better prepared for effective individual witnessing to your friends and neighbors. The first thing, as we mentioned last week, is that you must be born again yourself and have an assurance of your own salvation. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." And that you have, based in the Scripture, a rock-ribbed assurance and an inner witness by the Spirit of God that you are indeed a child of His. Then, you'll need to become equipped, because we are involved in a spiritual battle. And these are spiritual matters that necessitate spiritual tools, spiritual weapons. And that tool is the Word of God. Now, I want to talk with you in today's message about the place of the Word of God in individual witnessing. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord Jesus told the story, or we have the record of the story, that the Lord Jesus told of the sower who went forth to sow. And he sowed seed. Some fell on the good ground, some in thorny ground, some in stony ground. And in telling the meaning of the story, the Lord Jesus said, "The seed is the Word of God." Now, in witnessing to others about Christ, that is the seed that we are to sow, the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, the Scripture says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which when planted in the fertile soil of the heart, springs forth under the power of the Holy Spirit, and a person is born again. You could not be born again, you could not be saved apart from the Word of God. So any successful witness for Christ, any person who wants to be a fisher of men, must be skilled, at least become more skilled, in the use of the Word of God in individual witnessing, because this is the seed to the sower. It's interesting to note, by the way, that in Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11, we find that this same word, which is seed to the sower, becomes bread to the eater. That is, when the person comes to know Christ as Savior, having been born again by the Spirit of God, then this same word becomes food for his soul. It is bread to the eater. As the Scripture says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Therefore, in order to become equipped for effective individual witnessing, we must come to know the Scriptures. Furthermore, the Bible, and the Bible only, shows the way of salvation. In 2 Timothy 3:15, and you should make note of that reference, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice there that it's the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. They point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as I indicated before, the Bible, the Word of God, is the only weapon for this spiritual conflict. And we need to reflect for a moment the condition of a person outside of Christ, the one to whom we would witness, and the one to whom we would make Christ real. We are told about these in Acts 26:18, for instance, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. A person who is outside of Christ, according to the Bible, is blinded, is in darkness, and is under the power of Satan. And again, in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, we read these words, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Here we see that the enemy, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, and he has blinded their minds concerning a particular message, namely the gospel. Now, how are we to give sight to the blind? How can we bring a person from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God? Will any argument that you have or that I have suffice? Definitely not. To wage a spiritual battle, to be engaged in a spiritual warfare, we must use spiritual weapons. Now, what are they? In Ephesians 6:17, we read, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That is our weapon that we are to use, the Scriptures, the Word of God. As an illustration of using this weapon in spiritual warfare, just turn to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the account of the temptation of the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. We read beginning with verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And in meeting that attack of Satan, the Lord Jesus quoted a portion of Scripture from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And as someone has said, when dealing with the devil, don't argue, quote. And this is also true in effective individual witnessing, that we must show them what the Bible has to say, to use the Word of God, the spiritual weapon that has been placed at our disposal. But someone says, Well, I can quote the Bible. Some people say they don't believe the Bible. But may I ask you, does that make it any less the sword of the Spirit? Do you mean to tell me that God, who created heaven and earth, and who spoke this word, cannot use it to penetrate a heart, whether that person says he believes it or not? In Jeremiah 23:29, the scripture says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" You will find that the Spirit of God will use the Word of God to penetrate a heart in a miraculous way. It is still the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit uses to, first, bring conviction of sin and show the need of the Savior. Second, to show them that Christ is the Savior they need. Third, show them how to receive Christ as Savior. Four, to answer their difficulties that are hindering them from receiving Christ. And five, give them assurance of salvation. So the Bible is an indispensable weapon in individual witnessing. Well, now then, how are you to come to know the Bible? Is there some means that is more effective than another to equip you quickly for effective witnessing? Yes, I believe there is. And one of the fastest ways that I know to come to know the Bible for effective individual witnessing is through Scripture memory. By hiding portions of Scripture on the tables of your heart, you'll find that it will fill your heart with something to say. And it'll be like the Scripture says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. "Then said I will not speak of him, nor make mention of him, but his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not keep quiet." It will not only fill your heart with something to say, but it will permit you to speak with confidence. And in addition to that, it's through the word hidden in the heart that you can have victory over sin in your own life. Now, for our homework for this next week, would you take the little booklet, Beginning with Christ, and reread the leaflet very, very carefully. And then turn to the back, where there's a little packet with the five verses of Scripture printed on cards, and take the first of those, 1 John 5:11 and 12, and seek to commit it to memory between now and next week. Work on the verse every day and review it every day until it becomes just part of you. This is our third message of this series on individual witnessing. In our previous messages, we have spoken of the responsibility of every Christian to be an individual witness for Christ. The objective of every child of God should be to know Christ and to make Him known. If you know Christ, you have a God-given responsibility to make Him known to those who come within the influence of your daily contacts, your friends, relatives, neighbors, and business associates. Now, in these series of messages, we are seeking to give you some very simple and practical helps that will better equip you to be a witness for Christ. We discussed the place of the Bible in individual witnessing. And just to review some of that briefly, we pointed out from 2 Timothy 3:15 that it is only through the Bible that we find the way of salvation. In that passage it says, Paul writing to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Notice there that it is faith in Christ Jesus that saves a person. But it is the Holy Scriptures that make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, since it's through the Bible that the Spirit of God points us to Christ. Then, too, we discovered that the Bible is the seed that is to be planted in the fertile soil of the human heart. When it is planted there, the Holy Spirit works a miracle, and a person is born again into the family of God. Then, too, we discussed the fact that witnessing for Christ is engaging in a spiritual battle, inasmuch as the enemy of men's souls, Satan, is doing all that he can to keep a person from coming to Christ. In order to be successful, and effective in the spiritual battle, we must use spiritual weapons. And the Word of God is that weapon. From Ephesians 6:17, we read, Paul said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now for individual witnessing, one of the quickest and most effective ways to come to have a working knowledge of the Bible is through committing Scripture verses to memory. Memorizing Scripture. When you are witnessing for Christ, it is not your arguments that God has promised to honor or to bless, but it is His Word. Here is a verse that you should make a note of, John 3:34. It says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." If God sends you to a neighbor or to a friend to speak to that person about His Son, Jesus Christ, you should speak the words of God. But how can you speak them if you don't know them? But if you do know the Word of God and will memorize Scripture portions, you will find that there will be something on your heart that you will want to share with someone else. I remember a friend of mine went to India a few years ago where he talked with some missionaries. In the course of the conversation, the missionaries told how they were unable to get the Christians in India, at least in their locality, to witness. This friend of mine said to them, "Have you ever tried getting them to memorize Scripture?" No, they hadn't. My friend said, "Well, would you try?" And so they did. What resulted was this. After a few weeks, these young Christians in India, in a meeting when time was given for testimony, would get up and quote one of the verses of Scripture that they had recently committed to memory. Then as the weeks went by, they would not only get up and quote one of the verses that they had laid on the tables of their heart, but they would also share with those around what God had spoken to them about from that particular portion of Scripture. Then it was only a few short weeks until they found that they were witnessing to their friends and neighbors. You see, with the Scriptures on the tables of their heart, they had something to say. I believe that one reason that so many Christians do not witness is because they are frustrated. They don't know what to say. But you will be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and you will be able to say it with confidence. David said in Psalm 119, "So shall I have wherewithal to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." You see, with the word laid up on the tables of your heart, you will have wherewith to answer people who come to you. And the word of God through your lips will be like an arrow that will pierce the heart of that person for Christ. And if I may give a personal word at this point, for me, Scripture memory has paid greater dividends for the time spent than any other form of Scripture intake. Now, I know that it may be difficult for you to memorize. It is for most. And next time, particularly, I want to go into some of the practical problems of Scripture memory and how they can be overcome. But for today, there are several more reasons why every Christian should commit Scripture passages to memory. And I want to refer to at least three more of those. We alluded to the first one last time, and it's this: for victory over Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, if you would turn there in your Bible or your Testament to Matthew chapter 4, we'll follow along and see how the Lord Jesus used Scripture passages to meet the attacks of the enemy, Satan. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And in so doing, the Lord Jesus quoted a verse of Scripture, or part of a verse, from Deuteronomy 8:3. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." And in this case, Satan himself quoted Scripture. But there are two things wrong, at least. In the first place, he misquoted. He left out a phrase from the passage that he quoted from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, and in so doing changed the import of the entire passage. And secondly, remember that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and Satan has no part or lot with the Holy Spirit. So it does make a difference who uses the Scriptures. And so the Lord Jesus came back and said, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God," thus quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16. And then a third time, "It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And this time again, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. So we see the example of the Lord Jesus is that to meet the attacks of Satan, we must quote Scripture. As someone has said, when dealing with the devil, don't argue, quote, "You will have received a little booklet called Beginning with Christ. There is a leaflet to be read, and in the back, four verses of Scripture to be memorized. And as described in the leaflet, the first three of those verses of Scripture are calculated to help you meet the three most common attacks of Satan on a young Christian. The first is to get the person to doubt their salvation. And so in committing 1 John 5:11 and 12 to memory, you find that the Spirit of God will call this to your mind to give you confidence and assurance. Then, secondly, if temptation should come, your having memorized 1 Corinthians 10:13 will make that verse like a sword available to the Holy Spirit for you to have victory over sin. And thirdly, in the event that failure should crop up, there is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, your homework for today was to have read the booklet, Beginning with Christ, and committed to memory that first verse, 1 John 5:11 and 12. And if you have done this before or have just now started committing Scripture to memory, you will see how that in your own life, these verses will be brought to your mind by the Holy Spirit to meet the attacks of Satan. And then, there's for victory over a sin in your own life. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. When I was a young Christian, I desired to have victory in my own life and prayed for victory. But somehow or other, victory did not come. And then, a man by the name of Dawson Trotman, who founded the Navigator's work, got me started hiding the Word of God on the tables of my heart. Then, as the months and years passed, I saw how the Spirit of God used the Word to enable me to have victory. And since that time, it has been my privilege to teach quite a few people in personal work and to counsel a great number of folk. In fact, I've been in the Lord's work full-time for 15 years now, and in all that time, I have yet to meet a Christian living a consistently victorious life who is not getting into the Word of God consistently. It cannot be done. And so if you want victory, a means to the end will be to hide the Word of God on the tables of your heart. Not that that in itself will give you victory, but you see, it will make that Word available to the Holy Spirit. And when energized by prayer, you'll find that you will have increasing victory in your own life. And then, thirdly, for effective witnessing. I know of nothing that will enable you to be ready always to give an answer to every man any more than committing Scripture verses to memory. Then let me read you a verse here from Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. "Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee?" You see, folk who will want spiritual help or advice from you should be answered by the words of truth, the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And you will find that as you commit scripture passages to memory, the Holy Spirit will call to your remembrance just the verse. I remember a few years ago, a businessman came to see me. As he told me about himself, he said, "I tried this and it failed. I tried that and it did not succeed. Then I tried something else and that didn't prosper." And after he talked for a little, the Spirit of God brought a verse of Scripture to my mind, which I read to him. And after I read it, he said, "Where did you find that verse?" He said, "I've been looking for 20 years for a verse like that." Well, that's what he said, but the verse was this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So you see, the Spirit of God will call these verses to your mind. He won't just quote them indiscriminately, but selectively. Now, for next time, would you please reread again this little booklet, Beginning with Christ, and then commit to memory the second verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. You will find that one the most difficult of the four, but it will be well worth the effort. And then we'll take up some of the problems of Scripture memory next time. Today we continue with our fourth in this series on individual witnessing. If you have been doing the homework since first we began, you will have carefully read and reread the leaflet, part of the booklet called Beginning with Christ, and we'll have committed to memory 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, and also 1 Corinthians 10:13. Perhaps you've had a little difficulty with 1 Corinthians 10:13 if you had not committed that verse to memory before, but keep at it. You'll find that it will be a great blessing to your own life and well worth the effort. Now, in this series, as you know, we are discussing the matter of individual witnessing. Witnessing is the responsibility of every Christian. It is not restricted to certain selected people, full-time Christian workers or missionaries, but every child of God has the responsibility to be a fisher of men. The Lord Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." One of the main reasons that we do not witness more is simply that we are not prepared, and there is a price to be paid in order to be prepared. Let me tell you a little story. There was a sailor who was on the USS West Virginia some years ago. This young man had gone into the Navy with the idea of saving up enough money in order to enter seminary when he got out. But while in the service, he lost track of his objective and drifted away from the Lord. A Christian lady who knew him prayed for him daily. She also knew another young man by the name of Dawson Trotman, who was a young man that God had saved at the age of 20 and whom God was using in a great way. She asked Mr. Trotman if he would contact this young sailor, Les Spencer. So they made arrangements, met at the Navy landing, got in Mr. Trotman's car, and drove up on one of the hills near Long Beach, California, to talk. No sooner had they begun discussing when a policeman walked up to the window of the car and wanted to know what they were doing. Mr. Trotman held up a Bible. The policeman looked at the Bible and at the sailor, and back at the Bible again, and began to ask questions. And for an hour, Mr. Trotman answered the policeman's questions by turning first from one scripture portion and then to another. At the end of the hour, the policeman knelt down right there and received Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. As the young sailor and Mr. Trotman drove back down the hill, the sailor said to Mr. Trotman, "I would give my right arm to be able to do what you did tonight, just to lead a person to Christ." And Mr. Trotman told him, "You can do what I did tonight, Les. It won't cost you your right arm, but it will cost you something, by way of preparation, study, memory of Scripture, and a strong prayer life." And Mr. Trotman invited Les Spencer over to his home a couple nights a week. And sure enough, it wasn't long when Les Spencer, in turn, was used in another life. And there was the beginning of the entire navigator's work. But it cost something, and it will cost you something too. But if you have a real, fervent, sincere desire to be used as a fisher of men and are willing to pay the price, God will use you. One thing you must do is to have a working knowledge of the Bible. And one of the best ways to have a working knowledge of the Bible for effective individual witnessing is through committing scripture verses to memory. As we've pointed out in previous messages, then you will have something to say, "Thus saith the Lord," and you will have the confidence that you are speaking not your own words, but the words of God. Furthermore, it is through this means that the Spirit of God will enable you to have victory over sin and over Satan, and at the same time will so equip you so you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Too often we can think a day later of a verse of Scripture that we should have used today. And Scripture memory will take the Word of God and put it right on your lips like an arrow ready to fly to the heart of that individual. There are several other reasons why it would be very valuable for you, regardless of the effort it costs, to commit Scripture to memory. And one of them is this. It's a fast way to come to know your way around the Bible. Well-chosen Scripture verses committed to memory become like signposts that will direct your way through the Word, or like pegs upon which you can hang the context. For instance, you know that the story of Nicodemus is in John 3 because you've memorized John 3:16. Or you'll know that the story the Lord Jesus told of the Good Samaritan is in Luke chapter 10 because you have committed to memory Luke 10 verses 33 and 34. And so, as I say, these verses of Scripture become pegs on which you can hang the context and you can find the portion of verse of Scripture quickly. And then, what a rich source of blessing there is through meditation. And one of the greatest means to meditating on the Scriptures is, of course, to memorize verses of Scripture. You remember Psalm 1? It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Do you want to prosper? I'm certain that you do. Well, one thing you should do is to meditate day and night on the Word of God. But how can you meditate on that which you do not know? And what better way could you come to have the Word of God available for meditation? While you drive along in the car, while you're walking down the street, when you go to sleep at night, when you wake up in the morning, than to have choice passages of Scripture committed to memory on the tables of your heart. And then, I'd like to share with you another reason for the importance of memorizing Scripture. What is the greatest commandment in the Bible? You remember that question was asked of the Lord Jesus? And he said that the first and great commandment is this, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And in so doing, the Lord Jesus quoted again from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and the 5th verse. Let me read that verse to you from Deuteronomy. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And, now connected to this great commandment, it says this in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And what better way to get them into your heart than to commit them to memory? Then the 7th verse, let me note that just in passing. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, your life and mine should be saturated with the Word of God. Now, there are some of you who have been listening to me at the last lesson and again today, and you are saying, well, I have a poor memory. Do you know that most people do? And yet I have seen hundreds, in fact, literally thousands of people successfully memorize Scripture, but most all of them have poor memories. In fact, you know, I think that God gave us a forgetter. There are certain things that I wish I could forget that I can't. But on the other hand, your memory may be better than you think. For instance, I've heard it said that two ladies could meet on a street corner. They haven't met for some time. They will stand there and talk for 15 or 20 minutes. Then at night, one lady will go home, and she will recount the entire conversation to her husband, almost verbatim. Yes, their memories may be better than they think. But psychologically, you can memorize. In fact, all things being equal, the older you become, the better your memory, and not the worse. Because our minds are essentially an associating machine. And memory is tying a new thought to an old. Therefore, the more knowledge and background and experience you have, the more you have to which to tie a new verse of Scripture. No, I don't think the problem is so much with our memories as it is with our concentration while we're working on the verses. Now, many older people have worked on these verses and have committed them to memory that I have been asking you to memorize. A lady 72, 78, a man 84, and a man 90 have committed these verses to memory, and many, many more. You see, you must simply apply the rules of memory. And one of these is review. Some of you may say, well, I can get a verse memorized today, but tomorrow I would forget it. Well, you see, that isn't memory. That is simply repetition. You haven't really memorized it until it sticks in your mind, and that takes time. Review. Daily review. You should review a verse once today, once tomorrow, once the next day, and so on, for a number of weeks until it becomes part and parcel of your being. Some will say, well, I don't have time to memorize. Yes, but Scripture memory does not take time. It saves time. You can do it while you're washing dishes. Why don't you put a verse of Scripture up there on the windowsill in front of the sink? You can put a verse of Scripture on the mirror, you men, while you shave, or you ladies while you're putting your hair up or taking it down. And besides, if the Lord wants you to commit Scripture to memory, don't you think that He will also give you the needed strength and help and wisdom to do it? Of course He will. So if you have fallen a little bit by the wayside on Scripture memory, why don't you get out this little booklet, Beginning of Christ, and really work on 1 John 5:11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 10:13. Have it where you can work on it in various times of the day. Maybe you can review these verses at the breakfast table together. Now let me suggest in closing today a couple important things to remember in memorizing Scripture. First is have a definite plan. Learn so many per week. Now we have started you out with one a week. As part of our homework for this next week, we would like you to memorize two verses, the next two in Beginning with Christ, namely 1 John 1:9, and John 16:24. These verses are a little shorter ones, so we've assigned you two. And then be consistent in it. Work on them every day. That is very, very important, and particularly early in the day. Now, tools and Scripture memory help, and that's why we have given you this booklet, Beginning with Christ. And along with that, you will have another one, a blue booklet this time called Going On with Christ, and in it are 8 verses of Scripture to be memorized. And then both booklets tell of what's called the Topical Memory System Correspondence Course. If you'll notice there on page 14 of Beginning with Christ, it tells about this and where you can enroll. It will be one of the best investments that you have ever made. So work on those verses, will you? For me, as I have said, Scripture memory has paid greater dividends for the time spent than any other form of Scripture intake, and particularly for effective witnessing for Christ. Now then, next we'll be taking up the most important basis of all, for effective witnessing.